Jesus tells in the parable of the sower how the seed of the word is assaulted by birds and weeds and sun.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World.
This is the assault on our faith which the Lord wants to fight against and prevent. Some seed, that is, enduring faith, endures to the end, and the Lord teaches us how to have it in His Word.
Learn more about A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World at issuesetc.org.
Those of you who are worried about making your kids go to church and how that might leave them hating religion, the numbers actually say precisely the opposite. Those families who treat church as optional, they're the ones who are on the road to basically losing their faith.
I came to the conclusion that I don't believe that the ELCA is evangelical. I don't believe that it's Lutheran. Is it Christian? You can judge for yourself. I personally am doubting that it is. I mean, I guess it's in America. That's about all you can say for it.
Christ has taught me in His living and dying and living again how to pray when you must bear a cross. And He prays, Lord, take this cup from me. But Lord, Thy will, not mine.
New York City subway riders love Issues Etc.
When God calls him there in Genesis chapter 12, he is Abram. He's not the Abraham that he will become. He is, as far as we can tell, an unbeliever, an idolater. And yet God calls Abram and tells him to go to a land that he will show him. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the nations of the world will be blessed in you. What do all those promises, that covenant that God made with Abraham, have to do with Jesus Christ and Christ fulfilling all of those promises? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Deaconess Rose Adel will be alongside after that. We'll talk about the tendency toward minimalism among millennials and get some practical advice from her on parental minimalism. Then Dr. Angus Manoos joins us. We're going to review Stephen Hawking's final book published after his death, Brief Answers to the Big Questions. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Why does God call Abraham, in effect command Abraham, to leave everything behind and go someplace he does not specify?
That question can be understood in two ways. The first way is, why did God call Abraham? And in that way, I would say, why did he call Tom Baker into the Holy Christian Church? I have no idea. It certainly wasn't because of any righteousness that I had that God was appreciating. It was by grace. But if you're asking the question, why did he call Abraham, he did have a reason, because he had promised all the way back to Adam and Eve that a Savior would be coming, and Abraham was going to be the kind of father of the race or nation that would bring the Savior Jesus into the world. And so the reason he had to call Abraham and tell him to leave the area he was in is because Abraham was actually in an idolatrous community. His father, Terah, was an idolater. Abraham probably was also. And therefore, God had to call him out of that community in order to bring him into a situation where God could then use him, his children, etc., to be a blessing to all the nations.
So tell us the account of God calling Abraham.
We end up with chapter 11, which is basically a generations of Shem. And Abraham is near the end of it, where it talks about that one of the descendants of Shem, of course, was Terah. And he fathered three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And it was Haran, by the way, who fathered Lot. Now, Haran had died by the time that the Lord came to Abraham. And Abram and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was Sarah. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. And it says specifically in verse 39 of chapter 11 that Sarah had not yet had any children. So, Terah died in Haran, where he had taken the family on the way to Canaan, but stopped in Haran. And it was at that point that the Lord called Abraham. The word Lord in verse 1 of chapter 12, each letter is capitalized, which means that this is the name that God had given to Moses on Mount Sinai, Yahweh, or I am who I am. And he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Now, when you look up the word blessing, you find that it means that when you are blessed, you become prosperous in the area of what your blessing is going to be. It doesn't mean you're going to have a lot of money or anything, but your faith will be increased. And then God goes on and says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I shall curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I recently gave a sermon asking the question, when did Abram become a believer? And a lot of people would say he became a believer when God told him that aged Sarah was going to have a child, which she didn't have till she was 90 years old. But it says, and Abram believed it, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I don't think that's when Abram was converted. I believe he was converted at this point, because the Lord was telling him to do something that was very difficult. He would have to leave his family. He would have to leave the land he loved. And look at verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And it tells us Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, the location, and he took Sarai, his wife, and his Lot, the brother's son, and the possession they had acquired in Haran, and set out to go to the land of Canaan. Now, that's really a hard choice to make. If somebody came to me even now and said, Tom, we've got a call for you in North Africa, but you'll have to leave your possessions and your house, being on the radio, this kind of thing. I tell you, that would really be a hard decision for me to make. But if I was sure that it was the Lord telling me that, I would do it, I hope. Well, Abraham did it. And I believe that's when he received faith to believe the impossible. Because verse 4 is simple. Abraham went. It kind of reminds us Jesus walking around a bunch of fishermen, and he says to them, follow me. He even said that to a tax collector, Matthew. And guess what? They followed him. So what faith is God's gift to us to do what he asks us to do, even though it's very difficult for us at times to do that, because it doesn't seem to make any sense. So, when they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place in Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, of course, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appears again to Abraham. To your offspring I will give this land. Now, the word offspring simply means to those in your family that will be coming after you. What did Abram do? He built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then he moved on to the hill country to the east of Bethel, and had Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built another altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, this shows us how much faith Abraham had received. You know, I remember two people in the New Testament. Both heard from the same angel, Gabriel. Zacharias was told that his wife would have a baby called John, and he doubted it, and he was made mute. Mary was told she would have a baby, even though she knew no man, but it would be of the Holy Spirit. She believed, and it did occur. And that's what each Christian is faced with. We hear the word of God, and then we need, is what God is saying correct? Or is there something else going on here of which I am unaware of, where I can doubt? Now, Abraham was not a sinless human being, because in one of his journeys, he lied to the ruler of a kingdom, saying that Sarah wasn't my wife, she's my sister, because he was afraid he would be put to death because she was so beautiful and the ruler would want to have her. So Abraham was still a sinner. This is really helpful to the Sunday school children, because who of us were not born in sin and iniquity? We were like Abram, being in the kingdom of Satan, and God came and took us out of it, many of us by the waters of baptism. Plus, with the children being in Sunday school, you can say that that's a journey that God had prepared for them to do, namely, to leave their home on Sunday mornings, come to Sunday school, maybe vacation Bible school, perhaps even parochial school. And there, God would be doing what he did with Abraham, not only creating a faith within them through baptism, but strengthening that faith with promise after promise that you never hear from any other religious god, because, of course, they are all idols. So, God chose Abram. We're not sure why he chose him. He was in the land of idolatry, but he chose me. He chose you. He chose the Sunday school children, who also were in a land of idolatry with Satan at the head of it. And he plucked us out by the waters of baptism and placed us in his home. And even though we will continue to sin, as did Abraham occasionally, God will never forsake us, because we are of the children of Abraham. Paul makes that very clear, and I would have the Sunday school teachers read Romans 9 and 10 and 11, where Paul says, not all of Israel is Israel. In other words, if you're only Israel because you can show some relationship back to Abraham, that doesn't save you, because the true Israel are those who believe in the promise connected to Isaac, where Isaac would become the one through whom many nations would be born, including the Holy Messiah through that family, who would come to take away the punishment of our sin. So Abraham is kind of the starter of this clan, and even though he's not an Israelite, God chose him through whom Israel would be born, Judah and Israel, the 12 sons, all the way to the time of Joseph and Mary, who were of the house of David, because they were taking Jesus during the census, and they were to go to Bethlehem because they were of the house of David. So you don't got to wait till the New Testament to figure out how is God saving us. You can go all the way back to this chapter, Genesis 12, and hear what God has to say to Abraham.
We are teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, the call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. On the other side of the break, how does Jesus fulfill each of the parts of the covenant that God made with Abraham, the promise that he made to him there at the very beginning?
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Gospel reductionism replaces the Bible as the source and norm of theology with the gospel. What would a gospel reductionist edition of Luther's Small Catechism look like? Find out in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Russell Dawn details his journey from Anglicanism to Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During September, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Grace Place Wellness Ministries. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org, serving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, The Call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Tom, how does Jesus fulfill each of those promises made to Abram when God called him?
Yes, there are so many passages here. One that comes to mind is on Judgment Day, you have the sheep that are the house of Israel and Abraham, and you have the goats that are the house of Satan. Well, the sheep are blessed in that it isn't that they just did good work, so also did the goats, but their motivation was spirit-filled. They did it because of their love for Jesus, in contrast to the goats that would do it out of self-interest. So Jesus really shows us his task as he comes to speak the gospel to all people. But those who reject him, remember he referred to the Pharisees as having as their father Satan himself, because they did not believe the promises that Jesus was speaking. even though many, many people did believe those promises. He had throngs of people who would be following him. And there was one group of people who said, "Let us see Jesus." They wanted to see Jesus. The point of every Bible study, every sermon, every Sunday school would be that the listener would have the desire to know Jesus even better. And you can see him as you read God's holy word, because that's where he comes alive in forgiving the sins of those who don't deserve to be forgiven. Look at the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." So in taking upon the punishment of our sins upon himself, Jesus established the new nation, which we call the Holy Christian Church, and which the epistles refer to as the New Israel, believers in the promises connected to Abraham and Isaac.
What does it mean? Go into a little more detail when it says he called upon the name of the Lord there near the end of that account.
As I said at the beginning, God is coming to Abraham with the name Lord in capitals, Yahweh. And when Moses asked God on Mount Sinai in front of the burning bush, "What's your name? How do I refer to you?" He said, "I am who I am." Now, I kind of like the translation I've thought about, namely, "I fulfill what I promise." When somebody says to you, "I am who I am," that means they're saying, "You can hold me to my word. If I make you a promise, it's going to come true." Moses had a hard time believing that he was going to go to Egypt and release Israel from Pharaoh. He didn't even know how to speak properly, he thought. But then, when he crossed the Red Sea, he gave a song giving all the credit for that deliverance to God himself. And the Holy Spirit had impressed Abram with such a faith that whatever God said Abram was to do, he did it, even though he had no evidence that it was going to work out. That's what faith is. Faith does not operate on the basis of sight. It operates on the basis of a promise. And when you believe the promises of God the Father, salvation is yours.
Then, you had mentioned this before, those who are of the faith of Abraham being the true children of Abraham, how does that then apply to Christians?
When we gather to worship in a worship service, we always begin our worship services in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other words, the baptismal form that brought us into the family of Abraham. And that family of Abraham is not one that's related to Abraham, because even the Gentiles are part of the family of Abraham through faith in believing the promises that were given to Isaac, that a new nation would be created by God himself, and they would be in a right and righteous relationship with God himself, who will never leave us nor forsake us, and provides us with many promises to comfort us in our time of tribulation.
For us Christians, what is the land that is promised to us?
One can say there's two lands. First of all, there's the land I'm in now, which is the Holy Christian Church. When my father died and my mother and we attended the funerals, of course, we were comforted and had a joy. The second land is, of course, the land after Judgment Day, the resurrection of the dead from the graves, or our change of body immediately if we're still alive, to live an eternity in heaven with Jesus, where we will be in total bliss and joy, and we will have no dangers at all from Satan, because he and his crew will be removed to another kingdom that God had prepared for unbelievers and for evil angels. But we will be forever with Jesus in heaven itself.
Finally, the simple long gospel for the Sunday school children.
The law is, you're a Christian. Don't think you became a Christian because you were such a good child. No, you were a sinful, disobedient child, even if you don't take credit for it. And that's why you come to church to learn. The gospel is, God in his infinite mercy and grace still decided to call you out of the land of Satan and place you into the land of God, which on earth is the Holy Christian Church, and after Judgment Day will be our heavenly home forever and ever.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We'll be talking about parental minimalism with Deaconess Rose Adel on the other side of the break. People who are decluttering, simplifying, and minimizing their lives, are they doing that not only with their possessions, but also with their priorities? We'll be right back.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Register your high schooler today for Careers for Christ Weekend at Concordia University Chicago. From October 4th through 6th, spend the weekend with Lutheran youth, connect with CUC faculty, staff, and students, explore our Lutheran teacher education, DCE, deaconess, director of parish music, and pre-seminary programs. Sign up now at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Redeemer Lutheran, Chico, California. St. John's Lutheran, Hutchinson, Minnesota. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. And Trinity Lutheran, Arapahoe, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.